Today on Real Radio.
Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But Jack, what about an inheritance? What about an inheritance? Listen, this is the only inheritance that's going to last. Are you ready? Ephesians 1:11. In Christ we have obtained the inheritance. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance. What is the inheritance? Matthew 19:29. The inheritance is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. In chapter 12, Jesus is approached by a man who had a disagreement with his brother on an inheritance issue. The Messiah responded with strong words. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to take us through verses 13 through 21 in a presentation called Life According to Whom.
Then he spoke, Jesus did, a parable to the people, and he said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. That word means more than what he needed. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no more stuff or no more room to store my crops? Wow. Volume. Wow. I'm rich. And I'm going to get richer. Jesus warned against these things, to watch out for them. Material things really don't have, listen, any value. They really don't. Watch this. Material things really have no value but that which the holder or the beholder places upon it. You can take a gold nugget and go to the Sahara Desert, and you can have a loaf of bread or a gold nugget. I promise you, at the end of the day, you'll be holding a gold nugget because the people will have taken the bread. Tell me which one's more important. When you live in a world, as I do, that is detached from reality, then we begin to think that amassing things is security. Amassing things is comfort. Amassing things is smart. According to God's economy, it is not a smart thing to do. And we don't want to hear this stuff. Has God blessed you? Praise the Lord. How is it being used to the glory of God? What you and I have. You know, somebody, well, not that somebody, Charles Spurgeon wrote years ago that our checkbooks, and I know very few people use checkbooks anymore. I mean, now it's your online account. Your wireless transaction, your checkbook doesn't lie. What do I value in my life? You should be able to open up my checkbook or go to my computer banking account, and it will tell you what I value. Where I invest my resources is what matters to me. Question, is it eternal things of God that will last forever, or is it stuff of this world that if you have, God bless you, just use it to his glory? Don't give it up because, oh, I guess, for me to get saved, I got to give away my car. That's not how you get saved. But just understand this. Your car belongs to the Lord. Everything you have, everything I have belongs to him. Has he brought it your way? Then use it to his glory. Well, Spurgeon said, our checkbooks cannot lie. There's a lot of truth to that. The volume of what I have. Listen to this, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Now godliness, that is knowing God with contentment, is great gain or wealth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. Did you hear that, everybody? You didn't bring anything when you came in? You're not going to take it out when you leave. That's a fact. I know we think we're taking it with us. Get an 18-wheeler behind the hearse. It's not going to happen. And having food and clothing, with these things we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in the destruction and the perdition of their souls. For the love of money is the root to all kinds of evil, for which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Wow. Thirdly, under this point, what defines your life? Life according to who? Well, let's talk about my life or your life. What defines our lives? Is it the dreams of what can be? You know, someday when I win the lottery, someday when you win the lottery, 74% of the people who do turn out being drug addicted, alcoholics, ruined families, and wind up being broke. How in the world can that be possible? But it happens. Apparently, God is not into lotteries. Because 74% of the people who get them crash 10 years afterwards. Well, when my ship comes in, what does that mean? When your ship comes in, if it's not to the glory of God, it's going to sink. When I strike it rich, when you strike, dreaming. Watch out. Because you can affix your life's existence to the day that your ship comes in. And that's no way to live. Verse 18, so he said, speaking of the man, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. Verse 19 is scary. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Wow. First of all, if you're giving advice to yourself, it's a pretty scary thing. My, I'm so rich. Listen to this guy. Wow. Okay. He tells his servants, tear down the barns. We got to build bigger ones. Instead of, my barn's full. I need to give this to my neighbors. My barn's full. I need to give this to the church. My barn's full. I need to get, you fill in the blank as God leads you. No. Not this guy. He can't think this way. Because all he can think about is not the kingdom that will exist after his life. He's only thinking about the kingdom that's right in front of his nose. He's got no concept that he can start investing in the future eternally by investing in the things of God. He can only see to his own comfort. That's how he defines his life. And he says to his soul, soul, now you listen to me. We've got a lot of stuff laid up for many years. It's going to be great. Eat, drink, and be merry. That verse is found in Isaiah. Does anybody know how that rest of that verse goes? The guy forgot the last part of the verse. God said to Israel, you don't listen to me. You do your own thing. You won't pay any attention to me. And you've got all this wealth that I've given you. You have forgotten about me. And you say, we're not going to follow God. And when you turn around and you declare, we're going to eat, drink, and be merry. The verse says next, for tomorrow we die. As though it's over. That humanistic thinking. Come on, man. Look out for number one. Grab all the gusto you can. Live for yourself. All that stuff. Never looks past the nose. The people who think, what's in it for me? Never looks past their nose to realize that God wants humans to say, you know what, thank you very much. How can I help the person that's next door to me or my husband or my wife or my kids? And how can I help this community? I've got enough. You say, no, Jack, therein lies the problem. I don't have enough. You know why you and I don't have enough? Because of greed. Because God has already said, if I have food and clothes, I should be content. You guys, I don't want to bum you out, but the U.S. economy is going to crash. It's a matter of time. And it's not going to be that far off the way things are going. The U.S. dollar, it's going down. Those of you who are investors, you're already putting money into Europe, into China, and India. Why? Because you're protecting yourself against it. What? You guys, this is why church is going to become even more important as time goes on, to love one another. If I'm loving you, Chuck, if you're loving me, and if I'm loving you, I'm going to, Chuck, is that sure? Are you warm enough, Chuck? Are you okay? You want to use my shoes today? You guys, that could happen. This week I was at a counter-terrorist gathering and a former terrorist spoke to law enforcement agencies there. And he said, you know, the next attack on the street's not going to be a 9/11 attack. It's going to be a massive attack that will disable the computer systems of America. And because Al-Qaeda knows that if you disable the computer systems, there's no shipping, there's no trucking, there's no stores, there's no banking. And the joke is this, that Al-Qaeda is so excited to watch the gluttonous American who can't control himself with his food and pleasure come to a grinding halt and starve to death. Like they're going to laugh all the way back to the mosque. Hey, we need each other. And our love for one another should start growing, and why wait? I just don't have enough. We've gotten ourselves in trouble because of greed and covetousness. What we need to do now is be able to say, Lord, thank you so much for this, the pants and the shirt and the shoes. Thank you so much for what you've given. And Lord God, whatever I have, I stand ready to help others around me. Do your possessions own you, or do you own them? It makes all the difference in the world on how you dream about them, look at them, and are concerned about them. And then fourth, under this point, is this. You guys, how do we defend, or how do we define, I should say, our lives? Is it in the God, lower G, is it in the God of our making? The God of our making. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. What are you talking about? Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. This is absolutely terrifying. Jesus is announcing here that covetousness causes us to build altars of worship. When something controls our worship, we spend our time thinking about it. We spend money on it. Is pleasure? Is it entertainment? Whatever. We bow down to it. You say, Jack, I'm not bowing down to anything. I'm speaking spiritually. Jesus is saying, be careful. Because if you're not rich this morning toward God, you're a fool, says the Lord. Why? Because at any second, you guys, this is amazing. These are banking terms in the Greek language. He says your soul could be required of you. What does that mean? You guys, the word required here is a word that it just jars me. It means that your time has come to give an accounting. It means to call into account your investment. It means to review or audit what was given to you to handle. God will say to every human being, now's your moment. Excuse me, God, I'm right in the middle of building bigger barns. Your soul's required of you tonight. And what will it be like? The word used? Simple question. The life that I've given you and the 73 years that were yours, how did you invest my gift to you? You cannot stop in that moment and say, I'm sorry, did you say your gift to me? Because I thought I made it. I went to UCLA. I earned it. I became a doctor. I made all this money. You'll say nothing like that. God will say, I've called you here today. I'm doing accounting. I need to see what you did with what I gave you. And in that moment, there will be no lying in his presence. There'll be no storytelling. He'll know everything. And so, he'll call to accounting. Everything, verse 20 tells me, has been loaned. That I have, it's not mine. So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. I've never owned it. He's only let us use it. And so, the litmus test. Church, listen, be silent, don't say anything, just let it sink in. Why are material things so important to us? Because material things on the surface appear to bring us comfort, security, dependence, acceptance, status, appearance. Why do we put so much value on material things? Power, acknowledgement, meaning, attention, position. Why, or I should say, are all material things bad? No, it's just your appraisal of them. It's in that moment that I appraise something to be mine, to bring me meaning and purpose, is when I begin to store up a treasure here on earth. When I look at that car or that account or that person or all that I've accomplished, and I stand there and I get satisfaction out of it. Oh my, look what I have done. You and I have done nothing, but that God has given us the ability and the gift. How humbly we should walk before him. Has he blessed you? I know he has. So many of you have. If you only knew each other and you could swap stories about how God has blessed you. Oh, some of you have incredible things, great stories to tell that would warm the heart that we could never forget, things that could never be bought. Some of you have properties and places that you laugh when you showed me the picture because you said, I can't even afford my house. And this was left to me. And now we turn it around and use it for Christian camps in that state. God bless you. Or whatever your story might be. See, it's how we manage what God has given us. Do we abuse it, neglect it, take it to ourselves, and make it part of our little throne room? I hope not. But do you and I really believe in God? If we do, that means we would believe in his word. And if that's true, then we would have to say to the Lord, everything I have is yours. And thank you for letting me borrow these things from you, God. And so the man asked the question, Jesus, intervene in my inheritance. Church, you can inherit all that Bill Gates has and Warren Buffett and who are the names, the crown Saudi prince. You can have it all. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But Jack, what about an inheritance? What about an inheritance? Listen, this is the only inheritance that's going to last. Are you ready? Ephesians 1:11. In Christ we have obtained the inheritance. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance. What is the inheritance? Matthew 19:29. The inheritance is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh man, you can go ahead and pursue that all you want, Jack. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Dude, don't you know, man, it can burn down. The market could crash. If it all flies away, or if you get sick and die, or your soul's required of you, have you laid up an inheritance in heaven where moth and rust cannot break in, steal, or eat, or destroy? A lot of people talk about inheritance. A lot of people talk about what to do with it. Are you ready for this? This is going to kind of fry your circuits a little bit. And we just had a message about whose stuff and whose life belongs to who. It's all God's. Now watch this. If God gave me what I have, am I just saying it or is it real? If I believe that God gave me what I have and I'm to be a steward over it, to manage it and be a what? A faithful steward over it, a faithful servant, right? Listen, everyone, how long am I to be a faithful steward over the things that God has given me? You would say all your life. I agree with you. I think it even means more than that. If God blesses you and you acquire stuff and money, and you've been very faithful with it, you've been very godly with it, you've been a good steward with it, now you come to the end of your life. All right, ushers, guard the doors. Especially among the young people, they're going to swoon and faint in a moment. If I pray and say, Lord, I thank you for all that you've given me, and I'm coming to the end of my life, or I'm preparing someday for the end of my life, would it be godly for me to take all that he has given me, to bring him honor and glory, and to invest in his work, and leave it to the ACLU? I'm not joking. You would completely undo everything that you did in your stewardship for the Lord. Would you leave it to, I don't know what, the Goldfish Protection Agency? What are you doing? Oh, what? You can't be a good steward and then plan on your departure and be dumb about it, even to this point. Do you plan on leaving all your stuff to your kids? Yep. Why? What? Why? Are they godless? Yeah, kind of. Do they care about investing in the kingdom of God and furthering the kingdom and the things of the kingdom? No. Then why give it to them? When you, in this modern world of ours, I have the ability to invest continually, even after I'm with the Lord Jesus, by directing funds in areas that keep the work going. Why would you be so careful to manage God's blessings and then hand them into a spoiled, godless hands of a child that they're going to squander it and destroy it? I think that is an offense to God. Now, share that with your kids. Maybe they'll shape up. Are we not to be stewards?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Life According to Whom? A look at Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament gospel written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we don't have to remind you of the importance of this Saturday's date in our nation's recent history. We're speaking, of course, about September 11th. And if you've wondered if perhaps there's some way for you to participate in a service or exercise, well, you're invited to join us here, either at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills or online if you're not in Southern California. Either way, it's an opportunity to show appreciation for our God-granted freedoms. Our 9/11 service here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is something we do every year and something you don't want to miss, and here's one reason. Outspoken author and native daughter to Lebanon, Brigitte Gabriel, is the featured speaker. Our 9/11 service here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills will also air live on hischannel.com, so if you're not in the area, just point and click. And we've provided a link to his channel from our own calvaryCCH.org. If you are local and need a map to our campus, that's provided as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.